Let's turn in our Bibles this evening to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we're going to read the whole chapter. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long, and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. If you were to ask a nominal churchgoer today, where would you go in the Bible to find something about love? They would most likely be able to tell you 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But would they personally be able to give you an apt description of what love looks like? They might know where to find it. They might know that, well, 1 Corinthians 13 is the chapter on love. But do they know anything personally about what is in that chapter? What love really is? Now, I'm sure that you have all, at some point in your life, had a dot-to-dot puzzle. You probably have that picture in your mind where you've got all the little numbers and you've got the dots that just fill the page, but you really can't tell what's behind all of that. And it's not until you make an orderly connection of all of those dots that you're going to be able to see the picture. This evening, our goal is going to be for each of us to make that proper connection of the dots of love, as I am calling them. That's found in verses 4 through 7. And not just that we might be able to see the finished picture, but that we might be better prepared to express that love. Calvin says that the main object here is to show how necessary love is for the preserving of the unity of the church. Now that should whet your appetite, especially With us being so close to the first of the year and ready to start a new year, and now we're looking at something that is to preserve the unity of the church, and it's in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians dealing with love. Did you ever think about that? I can tell you I have not. Not until this study. You know, part of the problem, and this is part of the problem, is that we are constantly bombarded from our youngest years with the world's description of what love looks like. And if we're not careful, that's the description that ends up driving most of our thinking. Is that it's the world's view of love is how we begin to think that that is our view as well. So as we think of Calvin's thoughts on love, on the preserving the unity of the church, the preservation and the unity of the church, this should cause us to ask ourselves, what part of the biblical picture of love is incomplete in my life? Because that's the question that I had to ask myself as we were working, or as I was working through this. And as we work through this together, that's the question that I want you to ask yourself as well. And not only that, not only the problem of but what may be hindering, what might be in my life in regard to the picture of love, what love looks like, what is hindering in my life the unity of the church? We can't stop there. It's not enough just to know what's wrong with us. When you go to the doctor, and the doctor tells you that you have a serious disease, okay, you've told me that. Now tell me what I want to hear. I want to hear what the cure is. That's what's on the utmost part of your mind. It's not enough for me to know that I have this or I have that. I want to know what you're going to do to fix it. What I can do to fix it. And that's what we need to be thinking about here as well. Biblical love. That's what we're going to look at tonight. And biblical love is the cure. Is the cure for the preservation and the unity of the church. That is the cure. It's very simple. It's just two words. Biblical love. What is the source of love? 1 John 4:8, God is love. It's God's character. And we saw this perfectly lived out in the life of the Lord Jesus. And when you're doing that dot-to-dot puzzle, you're not merely interested in a definition of what the picture is. You want to know what the picture looks like. That's what you're after. So let's get started. What I'm calling the dots of love. Connect the dots of love. That's what I want you to go away with this night. In Paul's writing to these Corinthians, in chapter 12 and the first three verses of chapter 13, he's dealing with a problem. And the problem is gifts without love. The Corinthians were placing so much emphasis on gifts, and Paul tells them that if they have all gifts and yet lack love, they have nothing. But on the other hand, if they have love but lack gifts, they would have all things that are lasting and necessary for the Christian life. So in verses 1 through 3, you have gifts without love. And in verses 4 through 7, we have love without gifts. 1 John 3:10 says, "In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother." Now the first two dots that need to be connected are related to the positive aspects of love. Verse 4. Love is long-suffering. It doesn't give in to anger. And as you may have to endure in your lifetime many wrongs throughout your life, to be long-suffering through it actually works to the strengthening and the peace and the harmony of the church. Ephesians 3:17 and 19 through 19 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. The love of Christ is so great that it passes all knowledge. You're not even going to be able to take in the fullness of it. It is so great. Even though, as it is briefly described here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verses 4 through 7. Love is not only long-suffering, love is kind. It is considerate. So when you have been wronged and you are suffering for it, love is all the while kind and considerate and gentle. It's not retaliating when you're suffering that wrong. And the picture of all of this is Jesus Himself. Proverbs 10:12. Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins. So we've looked at love is long-suffering, love is kind, and now Paul begins to connect the dots of what love is not. What it is not. And you may remember in our study of the Larger Catechism, do you remember question 99? What rules are to be observed for the right understanding of the Ten Commandments? Answer number 4. Where a duty is commanded, the contrary sin is forbidden. And where a sin is forbidden, the contrary duty is commanded. And we have a perfect picture of that here in looking at what love is not. It's the opposite of that is true as well. So the opposite of what love is not, the opposite of that is true. And the first of these is that love is not envious. Love does not become envious of others that may have something that you don't have. It does not have a sense of rivalry about it. And where you don't have love, you will most certainly have envy. Where you do have love, this biblical love, you will not. Galatians 5:13 says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love ye have been called unto liberty." I'm sorry. "But by love serve one another." That's what love is. Love is service. And that's why I think Calvin used that statement about the preservation and the unity of the church. Because if you have this love, and this love is service, if you have brethren serving one another, You're going to have unity and you're not going to have divisions. And where you don't have that, you're going to have divisions and you're not going to have unity. Love vaunteth not itself. It doesn't boast or brag. It doesn't parade itself around. That's not the picture of love. Psalm 31:23 says, "Oh, love the Lord, all ye His saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer." Love is not puffed up. Very similar to vaunteth not itself. It is not arrogant. Love is not arrogant, but humble. It's not proud and haughty. It is humble and gracious. 1 John 4:21 says, "And this commandment have we from Him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also." You cannot be loving your brother when you are proud and arrogant. It's just not going to happen. Love doth not behave itself unseemly. It's not rude. Love is not rude. It's courteous. Love is courteous. And I'm going to spend just a little bit more time on this one because I think that this is an area in our lives that it is so easy for us to fall short of the mark. Love never lacks the quality of politeness. It is doing the best in the best way. And there's only one best way, and that is the way of love. We should never be satisfied with doing good badly. We shouldn't practice one virtue at the expense of another. So our honesty should not overshadow our kindness, or our earnestness should not dominate our long-suffering. When this happens, then the thing that love is not, which is unseemliness, begins to creep into our lives. I read a statement that hits the nail on the head. There is so much awkward piety, so much blundering goodness, so much unattractive sanctity, so much unlovely religion. And why? Because of a lack of love. Beware of the sin of unseemliness. Love is not unseemly. It is not rude. It is the opposite of that. It is courteous. Love seeketh not her own. It's not selfish. It's not always grabbing after your rights. But it finds joy in the advancement and the prosperity of others. 1 John 4:16, "And we have known and believed that the love that God hath to us," God is love, "and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him." There is no self-seeking and selfishness in love. Love is not easily provoked. It's not irritable. It's good tempered. That's what love is. Henry Drummond says that no form of vice or worldliness or greediness or drunkenness does more to unchristianize our society than an evil temper. I'm sure that you've all known someone like this, and hopefully you're not one of them. We need to note here that this is something that you have control over. It's not enough to say, well, that's just the way I am. I just have a bad temper. You're just going to have to get over it, and that's the way I am. Well, that is not love. That is not what's described in here. That seems to be a cop-out for everything. Well, I'm just not that kind of a guy. I just don't do that, or I don't do this. That doesn't work. And as you heard Elder Huffmaster say this morning, and I was just taken back when I heard him say this in regard to drug abuse and alcoholism. That's as, and I didn't borrow this from him and put it in here. This was already here. That's as bad as the alcoholic saying that he has the disease of alcoholism. The disease that he has is sin, and it needs to be repented of. It's the same with a bad temper. It's a sin that has to be dealt with. 1 John 4:11 says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And you won't be loving one another in the way that God would have you love if you're irritable and bad-tempered. It's impossible. Love thinketh no evil." It means that love is not vindictive, but generous. Love does not keep a diary of all the wrongs that have been done to you. Love is generous in forgetfulness. 1 John 3:14. "We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death." When you show vindictiveness, you are showing more of the trait of abiding in death and loving not your brother than loving your brother. Love rejoiceth not in iniquity. If you have love, you are not rejoicing in unrighteousness, but in the truth. Love is never glad when others go wrong. Love does not seek to make a gain out of the faults of others. And it doesn't delight in exposing the weaknesses of others. Have you ever seen those that just can't wait to tell you about some sin of another brother? That's a horrible thing. That's not love. Romans 12:9 says, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good." There's no disguises with true love. And now Paul moves to connect the last four dots of our uncompleted picture of love, which are descriptions that love is neither impatient nor malicious. And that's in verse 7. "Love beareth all things." And to bear all things is to bear up by suffering wrongfully without retaliating. Peter said of the Lord Jesus in 1 Peter 2:23, "Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." We have the perfect example of how to bear up, beareth all things in the picture and life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Love believeth all things. This is not some sort of blindness of believing everything about every situation. It means not being suspicious of everyone or everything. It means that love takes the best and the kindest view of all men and their circumstances as much as is possible. And I'm sorry to say that there are some who will always take the wrong meaning out of nearly everything. But love causes us to think kindly and in a sincere way of others. Love is actually the cure for this type of suspicious mind. 1 John 3:23, and this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. Love hopeth all things. Love hopes even when our faith has been disappointed. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Jesus' love was a total giving love. It was Him sacrificing Himself for you and me when we did not love Him. Love endureth all things. The difference between bearing all things, which refers to our attitude when we do not receive what we think is due to us. Enduring all things refers to our attitude when we receive what is not due to us, such as ill treatment. And when Paul uses these words, all things, the meaning is that we need to understand the things that need to be endured, and then to endure them in the right way. And you see the overlap here? The overlap with that which is unseemly? It is doing the best in the best way. And then Jude 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So what have we done tonight? What have we actually looked at this evening? We've sought to connect all of the dots of love in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. As we have sought to connect the dots of love, and not just that we might know something about love, or for that matter, even the beauty of love, but that you and I might be better prepared to show forth the love of God in our actions, in our life, as we seek to preserve the unity of the church And this will only happen when you connect the dots above. Shall we pray, please? Heavenly Father, we pray, O Lord, that you would help us to connect, as it were, these dots of love, that not only that we might see this beautiful picture that is behind all of it, but that we might be better prepared to live it out in our life. And that your church might prosper thereby. We pray, Lord, for the peace and the prosperity of your church. And we pray, Lord, that we would have a better picture of what love looks like and be prepared, better prepared to exhibit that love in our lives by connecting the dots of love. And we ask this in Jesus' name.